Welcome to the Rural News. I'm Eric Frickberg in Wellington. Farmers say they're not giving up the fight for their communities despite getting a cold shoulder from the government when they marched on Parliament yesterday. They say the rural way of life is under threat from spreading forestry investments that get favourable treatment. About 1,000 of them poured into Parliament grounds yesterday, saying slow-growing trees don't pay for jobs or services in small towns and will wipe out the daily flow of rural economies. But government ministers basically rejected that point of view, and the Minister of Forestry, Shane Jones, went further, assailing protesters on Morning Report today.
If people think they're going to come and insult our Prime Minister and our coalition parties, and I'm going to keep silent, I'll defend anyone's right to protest and I'll take it on the chin, but I'm not going to keep silent with that quality of rubbish.
Mr. Jones then defended his oblique description of the protesters as rednecks.
I realise that Ngāti redneckery is a term that will raise the ire of some of them, but I just say if you want to work with me, if you want to work with the government, then show some mutual respect. These guys who came to milk the bull yesterday in Wellington, what they were looking for from me is what they got.
Yesterday's protest was organised by the rural group 50 Shades of Green. One of their leaders is a sheep and beef farmer from Wairarapa, Mike Butterick. He's angry about Mr. Jones's insult.
Oh, look, I mean, it's just completely out of line. And look, I mean, my comment to that, look, perhaps the government need to spend another 9 years in the sin bin so they can actually work out how to engage with people. That's my first comment. And then the other one is, look, you know, provincial New Zealand, we don't march. It's not in our DNA to do so. And, I mean, that probably just is the best indication of how we have had a gutsful and how upset we are with the treatment we've been getting because we're not being listened to. And that's at the heart of the issue.
So you say you've not been listened to. Have you tried putting this message before without going on a protest march?
Yes. We have, Eric, absolutely, definitely. I mean, look, 50 Shades of Green, the various sector groups, the mayors from the provinces, they've all gone and had conversations with the various ministers. That's been happening for 6+ months now, and it's sort of falling on deaf ears. So that's the issue. So that's why we went on the march, because people are just incredibly frustrated, and I come back to, once again, we are not being listened to.
Now, the government also says that, in fact, not a lot of land has been swallowed up by trees, and, in fact, there was deforestation earlier, so the pendulum is swinging back. What's your response to that?
Yeah, look, that's right. And look, the issue here is that it's the pace that things are changing. I mean, this is an unprecedented change of pace, and particularly in Waira and Paiatua and areas like that. Their communities are going to bear the brunt of these changes. And look, when we talk figures, everyone's got different figures, which actually just highlights how hard it is to keep up with what's happening. But I would go back to the people on the ground, the mayors in the provinces, the farmers that are next door. They are the people best placed to assess what's actually happening.
Okay, and where do you guys go from here?
Yeah, look, we'll just probably stop and have a bit of a reassessment and see what sort of reaction we get, whether we get anybody listening to us. Look, I guess ultimately at the end of the day, there's an election coming up next year, so that might be how the rural sector or the provincial New Zealand do have the opportunity to have their say. But it would be really good if we could get some engagement and actually get these people listening to what they're being told.
That's Mike Butterick of 50 Shades of Green. Otago Regional Council inspectors have detected elevated levels of E. coli in two Otago locations. They're on the Tairia Plains near Mangatua Ranges and in the lower Waitaki Plains. Though they're not used for drinking water, the council says the results are a pertinent reminder of the need for care. And time now for our weekly look at the markets with Suze Bremner. Hi, Suze. What's been happening?
Hi, Eric. Well, it's been a busy week at the North Island sale yards with a flurry of cattle as that grass market grips the country and vendors look to cash in. All yards covered by our Livestock Eye and Farmers Weekly reports posted bigger than usual tallies. And if I threw a blanket over the sales, the markets were largely steady to lifting despite that extra volume. So that's a grass market if ever I saw one. Bigger entries of cull ewes are also coming forward as more farmers wean. This market has had another good year on the back of consistent pricing last year. The extra volume is welcomed by processors who are still looking for something to fill space before the bulk of the new season lambs come on stream. And heavy cull ewes are achieving $190 to $240, with most of them ranging from $140 to $200.
And Suze, I think things are a bit quiet in the South Island for a very special reason.
It has been. So being a North Islander, I'm a little bit ignorant to the impact of Canterbury Show Week, but I get the impression it is a show that stops in Ireland. There's been no on-farm sales that I'm aware of, and sales at the yards have either haven't been held or have shifted days to accommodate the show. Most of those were on the small side, and there were no real market indicators to be taken from them.
Well, maybe you'll be a bit busier next week. So thanks a lot, Suze. Thanks for your time. The recreational limit of power is being halved in Canterbury, Marlborough and Nelson to ensure the fishery remains sustainable after the Kaikoura earthquakes in 2016. The daily bag limit for power is being reduced from 10 to 5 and applies to both Blackfoot and Yellowfoot power. Ministry officials say the earthquakes caused an uplift of the coastline and that had a significant impact on power populations. The changes take place next month and follow earlier reductions. Taranaki is set to hold a national youth camp designed to upskill young people interested in showing and handling dairy cattle. The camp, organised by Holstein Friesian New Zealand, is being held at Stratford's ANP showgrounds over 3 days in January next year. A spokesperson for the group, Amelia Griffin, says the camp is open to all dairy breeds and any child that's interested in learning more about the dairy industry can attend.
Well, the dairy industry is still one of the major industries in New Zealand, especially in agriculture. And so we want to make sure that the kids that are coming through have an understanding of that industry. So it's a four-day, three-night camp, and they get assigned their own calf. So the calf is somewhere under a year old, and they will learn how to clip it, lead it, and do full handling on it, preparing it for a show. And then alongside that, we give them a little bit of information and a little bit of training around nutrition, animal health, pretty much anything that you can think of that people really want to get a little bit of information on.
That's Amelia Griffin from Holstein Friesian New Zealand. The American dairy giant Dean Foods has applied for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The Dallas, Texas firm says it's in talks with one of the world's biggest companies, Dairy Farmers of America. That's a producer's co-op. Dean Foods blames a continuing decline in the quantity of consumer milk for consumption. The company's being helped by Rabobank to keep going over debts of $968 million US dollars against assets of $74 million US dollars. Against assets of $74 million US dollars. And that's Rural News for another day. Ka kite anō.